we're going to get rolling here, and in case some of you are new here, we are actually studying the Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and we should be on lesson number 16. And if you could find 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in your Bibles, we'll move along with that. Pick it up at verse 11 and finish with through verse 12. Start with 8 and then we'll finish with verse 11 of this morning. But, you know, 1 Corinthians, that's right. She should be in your Bibles, okay? I know you guys are still in Hebrews, but we'll have to move you out of Hebrews after. You know, it's kind of neat when I think about Scott talking about, you know, shifting and moving ahead, and it was so neat. Here Sunday, he has that car. What was it called? You had Bugatti. What was that? Say it again. Bugatti. A Bugatti. And I'm like, oh, look at that. Oh, I love that. And then he puts the picture of the freeway. Clogged. I mean, you think you have a Bugatti, you know, that's your car, but what you're looking at the freeway. You're going to be going 5-10 miles an hour on that freeway in a Bugatti, you know, so we got to shift gears. But when you stop and think about it, I thought about it. We're dealing right now in chapter 12 with understanding spiritual gifts. And the thought comes into my mind, you know, if the body of Christ, if all of us would really fully understand the giftedness God has given each and every one of us, and, you know, that he has empowered us by his Holy Spirit and enabled us, I mean, and brought us together with the variety of giftedness, what great things could happen through the church of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about that. Talk about shifting gears. I mean, it's just an amazing thought. What can happen? I mean, it's sort of like a sleeping giant is what we are. But then you realize, okay, you know, there's obstacles, there's barriers, you know, there's things, you know, personal issues. I mean, all kinds of things that clogs up the system like that freeway. But at the same time, think of yourselves. You know, we're a Bugatti that God has called together. And yet at the same time, we realize that, you know, sometimes we have issues and problems. Of course, the problem in the Corinthian church was their attitude. Their attitude of pride and looking at certain gifts as really being the gift, and especially the whole area of speaking in tongues. We get into that in chapter 14. But Paul is laying out the whole system here. See, now look, we're going to talk about spirituality. When he starts off, you know, verse 1, I've got a little review here. Now he says, now brothers, about, it says spiritual gifts. Remember, the word there is throw the gifts out because that's not in the Greek. He's concerned about spirituality. And he says, I'm concerned about spirituality. And then he's talking about, you know, if you're really going to talk about spirituality, you know who's Lord. It's Jesus is Lord. And if he's Lord of your life, that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's Lord of your life. You're going to realize that you're going to be responding to him through the power of the Holy Spirit. You will. But if he's got to be Lord of your life, he's got to be the boss. Don't holler at him, Lord, Lord, you know, wonderful, Lord, Lord. Hey, if he's not in control of your life, you know, it's pretty hard to talk about spirituality. So he lays that all out, and then he says, now, I want you to know something else. Now let's talk about spiritual gifts. It's spirituality, now look at spiritual gifts. And he says, you know, there's a variety of gifts of the same Holy Spirit. There's a variety of ministries. But same Lord. It's only one Lord who's going to guide and direct where you are going to be, you know, using those particular gifts. Same Holy Spirit. It's the same Lord. And there's a variety of energeia or energy or results. And then God the Father will handle that. So he's saying, you know, keep in mind now. So here we are. We have these different gifts. But note, it's God's in charge of it all. And then he goes on and he basically is saying here in verse 7, now to each one, every person has the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. He's gifted every one of us. Every one of us. Same Holy Spirit, same Lord is directing those ministries into different places. God's giving the results. It may be different results, but it's the same God. He's in charge of it all. But no, you all have spiritual gifts. You have spirit-endowed abilities, you know, that God's given you to utilize within the body and for what? For the common good. Spiritual gifts are not for your glorification to see how good you are. No. It's merely you've got gifts, talents, abilities. He put you in a body together. You find your position in the body, and we together are Bugattis. Man, can we do great things? Let's not get clogged up on the freeway. We gotta, you know, run the race, you see. So now he's gone with it. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to pick it up with verse 8. I'm going to read verse 8 through 11. This is what we're going to conclude with here. To one, there is given through the Spirit. Okay. Now he says, I want to give you a little list of some possibilities here. There's a list, the message of wisdom. And to another, the message of knowledge by the same means of the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now he repeats this again. He says, look, verse 7, I'll verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Who gets the praise? He gets praise. He's the one who determines who gets what, and so on and so forth. So what does that tell you? You're not being envious of anybody else. You know, you figure out what God's given you. Now, use it, okay? So now, let's take a look at this now. Let's look at some of these questions here. First question, as you read verses 7 and 8 and 11, what important insight must we discover here? We said it several times, now I need to hear it again. What's important here? Derek.
That there's one Spirit. It's all been given by one Spirit.
Right.
For the works of service. Okay. For the works of service.
One Spirit, okay? Keep that in mind. What else do you find in that one?
For the common good.
Common good. Got that? For the common good. And what else?
Diversity with spiritual gift.
It is a gift.
For each diversity, different kinds.
Diversity, different gifts.
Different people.
Exactly. And along with that, what else you see in here?
It's not your choice. You have nothing to do with it.
Okay. Not your choice. He determines it. To whom? Every believer. No exceptions.
It's, again, it's not for you, it's for the body.
It's for the body.
Your gift is for...
Exactly.
It's to support the church.
Yes. It's not for yourself. Now, think about this. I mean, it just blows me away sometimes to think about this. Now, here is Jesus, you know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Now, here, God's presence came in a physical body. Now, Jesus ascends into heaven, sends his Holy Spirit. Now, what does he call the church? His body. The body of Christ. Now, think about it. The presence of God was physically in that human body. And now he says, I must leave so I can send the Holy Spirit, which basically is going to be his presence. Because now when he ascended into heaven, remember that glorified body is now in heaven. That's our assurance.
Amen.
Keep that in mind. That's our assurance that when we die, absent the body, present with the Lord. This old carcass may go into the ground, but there's going to be a glorification. When I die, my spirit goes to be with the Lord, but God's not finished yet. He doesn't junk the body. He doesn't junk the body. What's he going to do? What's going to happen?
There's going
to be a resurrected body. There's a continuity between what is put into that ground and what comes back up out of it again. So that representation is now in heaven, God's presence. Now, in order for the life of Christ, the resurrected life, see, the new life comes through the Holy Spirit. Now that he then indwells us. When we talk about Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's exactly what it is. It is Christ in us, but it is his resurrected presence through the Holy Spirit now that indwells us. Now, get this picture now. Now, here's this, we all have that presence. That's why the church is so important. See, we live in a world today which glorifies individuality. Self-esteem, self-image, and all about me, 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 me. And the scriptures basically is saying, I love you to bits. You're great, but I got news for you. This is God speaking now. He said, well, when I call you and you meet me at the cross of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to introduce you to my family. See, I love you, but you're part of the family. You're now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I link you together, okay? I link you together. My presence, my power is there. Now, think about this. You now are going to minister. You are representing Jesus in the middle of this cut and picked world of ours, this messy world. You represent me and my ministry. Now, that just blows me away. Fernando.
When he said all the diversity of gifts, spirit, by same spirit, he repeats it a few times. By the same spirit. It means the Trinity of God.
That's exactly right.
They are working together.
Yeah, think about that. Yeah.
That the way. And then, situation of our diversity or the gift of the Spirit to different ones bring one unity.
One unity.
In the body of Christ.
Yes. See? And that all has to come under this head, okay? Jeff?
I'm going to read a scripture. This is Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
In unity.
Verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing,
right.
Even life forever.
That's right. Beautiful. I mean, that sense of unity, that oneness, and that's all in Christ. Brad, you had a comment?
I was going to say, I believe that, and I just want to confirm with you, when I look at this, that the Holy Spirit obviously gives the gifts as he determines,
right.
But we may not just be gifted for the gift of wisdom. In other words, we may have the gift of wisdom for one particular situation, then we may have the gift of prophecy for another situation. Is that a correct statement?
Okay, I would disagree with that.
It's
very good, because a lot of times people say, all I got to do is pray, and, God will give me a gift here when I need it, and God will give me... Well, if I've got all those gifts, I don't need you. Why do I need you?
Yeah. Okay, so what it's saying here is that
right.
You may give a gift of wisdom.
Right.
That gift of wisdom.
I believe that. I believe the whole concept of body really is a great illustration, because what it says to me is that, some of us are kidneys, and some of us are livers, and some of us are lungs, and some of us are... In other words, if my kidneys... or say my lung doesn't function anymore, well, I just can't just all of a sudden, pray, and I'm all of a sudden I have two kidneys, so I can give up the one kidney. That one kidney leaps over there, suddenly becomes a lung. No, what I sense in the body of Christ is that he gifts us with particular gifts. And I look at you and I say, Brad has a gift of evangelism. Man, his whole heart just pumps and his mouth starts to water when he has that opportunity, just to share Christ with people. And you do, and that's beautiful. And you stir the rest of us in terms, maybe we all don't have that gift, but we all have a role. Are you with me with this? We're all called to be witnesses, okay? We're all witnesses. Some of us have a gift of evangelism. So the one who has the gift stirs others to function in their role. They may not necessarily have that same gift. Now, but the same thing, we have to recognize that because we have different gifts, we need each other. We need each other.
What other gifts are there besides the ones listed here?
Well, you know, we're going to get that. I'm moving toward that. I'm moving toward that. So slow down. Okay, go ahead, sir.
And Scott put this up on the board this weekend, but Paul says it so incredibly beautifully in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13.
Right.
He says he's given his gifts to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God.
That's right.
And become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
It's radical
that he gave us these gifts.
Tremendous.
Yes. For equipping for works of service so that we can all be built up in unity.
Right.
Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that's where spiritual maturity is.
Yes. And again, today now, what are the marks of spiritual maturity?
Fruit.
Okay, in other words, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. If I missed somebody in there, but that's okay. But faithfulness, maybe that was one I missed.
I hit them all.
Anyway, so here we are. That's the mark of maturity. Now, the giftedness is there to minister, to help them walk through, encourage. But the goal is to be conformed into the image of his Son. And to be conformed to that image, that means more the character of Christ needs to be being reflected in me all the time. So what do I look for in the character of Christ? The fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. I mean, those are the reflections of the fruit of in Christ. Okay? Now, let's just take a peek here now before you guys ramble and get away ahead of me here. Now, in the midst of these many gifts, what remains the same? I think we've said this already. It's the same Holy Spirit. Okay? He's basically saying, look, it's this Holy Spirit. He's the one who gives you these gifts and determines what gift is given to each believer. All right? Now, let's look at the next page. Take some time, and then perhaps with a commentary or so, give a brief definition of the following spiritual gifts. And I want you to have a sense. That's basically what? I got nine here? What, something like that. So there's nine gifts listed here, and your question was, is that it? Well, no. That's why I list here, is this list exhaustive? Question C. I check up on you this way, see? Is this list exhausted? What's the answer?
No,
it's not. See? Now, let's hear it out. Here, the gift of wisdom. Now, what I've just completed a whole study with a group on Wednesday morning, and we talked about a workshop of spiritual gifts. And what I had the group do is actually do a Bible study on each of these gifts. And then find from Scripture, you know, how is this illustrated in Scripture and so forth, which, you know, I'm not doing here, but it's just very interesting to see how in Scripture these gifts then are illustrated through, you know, people and situations and so forth, which like I said, I'm not doing here. But again, a gift of wisdom. Well, I'm just going to hit a few of these things, but a gift of wisdom. Someone give me a definition. What did you find in your studies a gift of wisdom? Those of you who really work through this thing, now I know you. If you work through this thing,
but wisdom is discernment.
Okay, discernment.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what makes it a spiritual gift?
Not of yourself.
Okay, not of yourself, but I'm showing that spiritual. Remember now, there is such a thing as talent, which is natural. And there's such a, we're talking about spiritual gifts. And you need to know, well, talents from God too, but I want you to be able to make a distinction. Natural talents, Jay, I've got a comment here.
Okay. I just want to comment. I had the ability to see life from God's perspective and then know the best course of action.
Ah, see, it is discernment. But it's looking at life from God's perspective, Dick.
fruition, I thought, why is it the ways of a holy created God who went to their decision?
Okay. Now, geez, see what I'm trying to get you to look at? There is such a thing as natural talent. There are people who are able to give good insights into a variety of things and so forth. But this wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective and be able to speak to it. With me here?
There's worldly wisdom, there's natural wisdom,
exactly,
and then there's spiritual wisdom.
Talking spiritual wisdom.
Or God's wisdom.
Yes, exactly.
And I was just wondering if you could comment on how you study the Bible regarding an exegesis. Do you receive all your wisdom from God and the Scriptures, or do you utilize other...
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. I mean, if you're saying, I just sort of sit here with the Bible, I never use a commentary, if that's godly wisdom and the commentary is worldly wisdom, I would say no. I mean, right. I believe God has also, utilized his spirit in the lives of many others beside myself, and to me that's a marvelous thing. Now, I do feel, I mean, there are times I may read secular books about what's going on and so forth, but I always bring that into the realm of Scripture to say, okay, now, how do I understand this from God's perspective? Let me use an illustration. We are, and I always appreciate John sharing with us that we need to be praying for a revival and so on and so forth. And so I look at this and I listen to this and I think to myself, okay, when I try to see our world, our United States, the way things are going right now, how many times God has come and bailed us out and restored our economy? And this is often what our prayer is. Oh, they got to restore the economy, because after all, I got my IRS sitting over there, and I'm this age and I'm retired, and so I better start building up again. Oh God, give me a revival. And yet at the same time, I realize God's got a whole bigger picture than my little world. His whole picture, as we find in Ephesians chapter 1, 9, and 10, is to bring unity, heaven on earth, through Jesus Christ. I know that ultimately that's going to come when he comes again, but something's going on right now. So here we are as a nation, an arrogant nation. And, we are Americans, man, we can do anything. And, we have the power, we have the ability, we got the military. And sometimes I think to myself, something, I wonder if God is going to humble this nation of ours. And how is he going to humble us? We have such arrogance with regard to our financial abilities. That market's going to come back again, and we sit there and I think, well, what if it doesn't? Will the people of this nation, will we humble ourselves before God? Now think about that. That scares me. Is that's when I get back into Revelation in the 9th chapter. And when we said, I harped on this when we said Revelation, but I go into chapter 9. Verse 20, it says, the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of their evil ways. They did not stop worshiping demons, idols, gold, silver, bronze. I mean, what is that? Come on.
Love of money.
We still, they want to worship that. It says, and idols that they cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders. I think about abortions and all the stuff that's going on in the world today. Their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality. Now, what is it going to take? We pray for revival. Boy, okay, let's pray for revival. But I got news for you. That doesn't mean all of a sudden we start praying to God and all God says, okay, I'm not going to do this stuff in the financial world anymore. I mean, we'll restore everything again. And to me, from my wisdom, I look at the Scripture and I say, I get a little nervous about that. I say, okay, Lord, I know you're in charge, but I get a little nervous sometimes. You see how I view it?
Yeah.
So when I look at Scripture, I'm trusting, you know, I leave in God's hands, but my view is a little different. Fred?
God's plan and purpose will not change.
Oh, it will not. I know that. And to me, that gives me great comfort. It gives me comfort to know that history is moving toward God's intended conclusion.
Yes.
Now, I got to find a peace in all of that. No, a joy in knowing I'm a part of it. I'm a part of what God is doing. So what do we do in the meantime? Man, we work and we share. We do the best job we possibly can and share the love of Jesus with people around us. Because, hey, that's the bottom line. Andy?
Well, I really share your view, too. And I think this is probably the biggest weakness that we have as human beings, is that when we're down and out, and we were running from persecution from England,
right.
We needed God.
Yep.
But as we filled the scripture and idolized bronze, right. Gold, and power, and science,
right.
We then said, oh, it's not God anymore, it's
true.
Us.
It is
and
true.
So what last month of the bill in Congress to remove the God we trust.
Exactly.
So our country is contemplating removing that statement.
Sure.
Because we think we're so good.
Yes.
So I am scared too.
Well, that's
what is coming.
That's what I look at this and, but understand now why, you know, why I'm sharing that. That's not to create a panic or, you know, it's to say, know what's on God's agenda, have a wisdom that you look at what's going on in life from a different perspective.
It's interesting, too, because when we talk about, oh my, like you said, I don't want to create a panic.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, James 1, verse 2 says, consider it pure joy. Yeah, so we look at the United States and go, oh my gosh, what's happening? This is horrible.
Right.
We're messing up. But God says, that's how you attain maturity. You don't attain maturity by the United States not going through this stuff. And we hate it. We think it shouldn't be.
Fix
it. But that is part of God's plan, too. Consider it pure joy when you face trials and trials.
Yes, and always remember what it says in 1 Peter 4:19. You know, I love this one. Never can find it again. It says here, but rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ. And then, don't be surprised at the fiery trial that is about to try you as though some strange thing is happening to you. Don't be surprised at these things. You know? Go ahead.
You know, you mentioned being afraid. When we look at the state of affairs,
yeah.
And we look at the church, and we say, oh, people are not doing all that they can be doing.
Right.
But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
That's right. That's right.
So we have to come back to Scripture, and that becomes our anchor.
There you go.
Now we don't have to fear any longer that the stock market is crashing, that our government is becoming communist. It did.
Well, now I hope not.
Hyperbole.
Yeah, but in other words, what we're being, that doesn't mean that we're not concerned or that we don't vote and you know, lift up the kind of candidates that ought to be there and all this. Very, you know, we need to be very much involved. The point that you have to consider is that, wait a minute, this is not my permanent home. I am here, why? As the body of Christ. I represent His kingdom. Not a subversive kingdom, but a kingdom that is to be, you know, involved in the lives of people and build them. So let's start with James over here and move around here. Go ahead.
I want to add another prayer request for everybody's remote control, that it would not just go to Fox News, you know. There's other channels.
I just want to make a comment on wisdom. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will
reply. Right. God's telephone number.
Say that again, Brent.
Jeremiah 33:3. Go ahead.
Call to me and I will reveal to you great and unsearchable things you don't know. And having walked Christian walk and trying to evangelize with people or whatever, a lot of times I speak with people, I'm like, Lord, would you give me wisdom right now?
There you go. Mm. Absolutely. That's right.
Or in my quiet time in the morning,
excellent.
If I want to send my niece-in-law, Hillary, like, Lord, would you tell me what you want me to do?
Exactly right.
And I just wait quietly until I get something in mind, and I just take it and run with it.
Exactly.
And Lord, I don't know, but then maybe you give me something. I'm going to take that because I don't
right.
do that.
Now, see, it's a promise, James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. He will give it to you. Now, that is the role of all of us as Christians.
Yes.
See, there are some who have a gift of wisdom. And they keep looking at what's going on, and they have a, you know, they're seeing things from God's perspective. Go ahead.
Going down that line, but would you say that people with a gift of wisdom probably have come from a more humble spirit, in that they don't have to be dropped to their knees hard?
Yes.
To see, to understand? To
yes, I think so. Yes, please.
I don't often hear people, when they're looking for wisdom, say, give me the wisdom of Solomon. And other than God, asking God to give them wisdom.
Very good.
That's kind of strange.
I appreciate that.
Even
thank you.
Christian,
I know. I know. And it just, you know, whatever. If this particular truth that we're talking about hasn't been introduced to them, that's kind of where we end up going. But the beautiful thing is, what guys, sometimes what we don't realize, I think Carl brings this back to my mind, but remember what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What do we have? Last part of chapter 2. Last verse of chapter 2. What does it say? The spiritual man has what? We have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
See, now, I appreciate that. Don't just pray for wisdom of Solomon, because, man, that boy, he went all trucking in the wrong direction afterwards anyway, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's hard for me because sometimes I think, you know, what's it going to take for the people of this nation to turn back to God?
Oh, I know.
But then when I turn it around to realize that's kind of me wanting to be part of a nation that has turned to God, when in reality it should be, what do we have to do to minister to everybody so that everybody, regardless of nation, we need to be set up
very,
for God's purposes.
Very, very good.
Not about the nation.
Oh, very, very good. To me, that was so humbling listening to this guy, Johnny Lee, here a couple of weeks ago. I mean, here he is. Here's the guy, Chinaman, and he's talking about, yeah, he was part of the mafia, Communist Party, and all this kind of stuff. And God is using him amongst the Muslims. And he's sort of like, oh, you mean to tell me the Chinese may have a greater impact on the Muslim nation than me, an American here, you know? I'm thinking, yeah. God will do what he needs to. Jack, you had a comment over here.
Proverbs 13:3. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom.
Oh, very good.
Amen.
And so true. You know, yes, Rich.
You know, speaking of where we're losing God in the nation, one of my grandsons, he was a Christian, but he wanted to become intellectual. And he says that he doesn't believe in God anymore. Let me put it this way. I believe in God, Jesus is my Savior, I get to heaven, in search of God, I've lost nothing. In your case,
right.
You're going to lose
that's everything. That's right. Pascal's wager. Very good. I love it. Fernando.
It really endorses me somehow, the situation. I know a lot of people in the church go to the church looking for something. Some of them go empty and get out empty.
Uh-huh.
Because they'll get what they're looking for.
Yes.
And we, the art,
yes.
We who know, we're supposed to support and bring those people and pass to them.
Yes.
That knowledge.
That's right.
Know that I can, who I am, big, no. In the name of God, in
that's
the name
right.
of Jesus Christ,
right.
We can work together and help in
right.
group. In situations. It happened to me once. I went to a restaurant, I see a man outside the car like that. His wife, she down on the front with the head down. And his boy, 8-year-old, laughing at me, smiling. I was touched by the spirit, but I was scared. He said, I don't want to be in family problem. You know, it happened. But one or the other, I prayed. And the man stood like that, and I left. The Holy Spirit consumed me and was crying from that place until I get home. I went back, I can't find it. But I never went out of my mind that situation, that the Holy Spirit led me, and I didn't do anything.
right, yeah.
You really welcome me.
Sure,
and I see
that's
you, right. You know what happened?
Yes, okay, right.
Just, I will open my mouth.
Just to be sensitive. Yeah, that's
good. And about revival, we mentioned over here, let's go revival. That's not so easy to do what they were reported. For revival, we have to break contact with God. And when we pray, most of the time we ask. No, praise God for what He's going to give to us.
That's right. And what He's doing. That's right. I always appreciate this season of Thanksgiving. I think about what was God's complaint, or in Romans chapter 1, it says here, verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. And I think, boy, you know, it's Thanksgiving. Hey, let's make sure we give thanks.
Yes.
Give thanks to God for His grace and for His goodness. I ran out of time already, and I got through half the gifts over here. Well, listen, we'll pick it up for next time, okay?
We just got into the first one.
Yeah, we just got one.
Yeah.
That was a good bite. Okay. All right. But listen, work for this, okay? Because I got a word of prayer. We're going to close. But work through these things and see what you come up with. Let's pray. No. What's this? I'll be here next Saturday. I'll be here next Saturday. Hope you guys do too. There's no excuse next Saturday. Come on. I mean, Thanksgiving is Thursday, all right? I don't know how long you guys party, but if you're going to give thanks, let's come here, okay? All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We just appreciate our time here together. And Lord, we just realize over and over again what a great and gracious God you are. But Lord, you have gifted us. And you've enabled us as a body. Lord, help us to see the body. Teach us what it is to work together. And to with a spirit of humility, with a spirit of commitment, with a spirit of saying, Lord, we serve you. And as we do, serve one another. And join our hands together in a spirit of unity to do a mighty work that you called us to. And Lord, may it be that as we do, we begin to see the fruit of the labor. We look at the lives of men and women and children around us. We want to give you the praise for it already. Thank you, Lord. Go with us. We look forward to today, tomorrow, the season of Thanksgiving, and praise you for all this in Jesus' wonderful name. All God's will said. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Thanksgiving.